This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Brock Richardson joining me here on the program. It's Kelly and Company, wherever you are listening in. Thanks for being with us. The other item on the roundtable yesterday I wanted to get into, Brock, was, and I know how much of a fan of your Toronto Maple Leafs you are, and it's a time where, well, let's be fair, Brock, we've got to take advantage. I mean, we need to hear from you Leaf fans who have something to cheer about.
Yes, absolutely. And there's kind of that, there's two forms of Maple Leafs fans right now. The ones that are enjoying the ride and saying, we'll see this, and then there's the other portion who'd say, yeah, let's wait till April when they actually win four games in a row. And I'm kind of one of those people that's like, I'm gonna just enjoy the ride and let it be. I'm enjoying seeing them succeed at all facets of the ice right now, and you can't say that in all of Canada at the moment.
Don't look that way over there to the Montreal Canadiens. Hey,
or the Ottawa Senators.
Well, I was just going to say, don't look that way over to Karen McGee either. Stop picking on people. What do you think of all that, McGee? You heard what he said.
I did hear what he said, but I'm also living comfortably in the fact that Brock and I are going head-to-head this week in fantasy hockey, and I'm beating him 5-1 right now. So, you know.
Did you know that, Richardson? Have you looked to see where you stand in that fantasy hockey?
Do you know what's been happening
that
to
means
my
no.
fantasy hockey pool team? I've literally like just dumped everyone off because I'll get messages from people. Oh yeah, I'm beating you, and my answer is yeah, just join the rest of the club of the league this year. And that's all. I'm holding up the basement, Karen McGee. It's all good.
At one point, I had like 8 players on COVID protocol. It was crazy. Just insane. It's a crazy year for fantasy hockey.
Stop picking on the Senators. Oh, you mean in fantasy. It's our time for our regional content report. We do this on Wednesdays and Fridays on the program. Today, as mentioned, Karen McGee is here. And you have a really, and I saw this earlier in the week, and just so wonderful. Again, congratulations to the people involved. You are a regional content development specialist in Ottawa, and you want to recognize what Barrier Free Canada is doing because they announced their award winners. Would you start, Karen, with the business category and let us know who won there?
So this is the first year for the business category award, and just a little bit of background. The award, this category focuses on businesses and organizations in Canada. They're looking for people who have demonstrated a commitment to accessibility and the inclusion of people with disabilities. So the inaugural winner for the 2021 Inclusive Business Award was a company called Fable, who is located in Toronto.
Very nice.
A little bit about them. They're an accessibility testing platform powered by a community of people with disabilities and a cloud-based online interface. Companies use Fable Engage, which is one of their products, to connect people with disabilities for user research and accessibility testing. And Fable Upskill, another one of their services, provides custom training for digital teams to gain skills to build inclusive products. They work with clients like Walmart, Spotify, Kijiji, so some big names there. Based on feedback received, Fable is being recognized for exemplifying barrier-free businesses. And also mentioned the way that they treat and care for their employees and customers provides ample evidence for them earning this distinction. So congratulations to them.
I love that part of the way they handle their employees. It's so important to handle well, but also make the demands that a business makes on your staff to perform and giving people the right tools, the right environment to do it. And really nice to see that recognition. So let's move on to another award, also equally as important, recognizing kind of following in the footsteps of a person who really did live this in their life, and this is where the award is named after. Let's talk about the Chris Stark Advocacy Award.
So this award category recognizes people in the community who have demonstrated superior and outstanding advocacy over a period of 10 more or years as a leader. So you have to, you know, it's people who've really dedicated their time and life to advocacy. The winner of the 2021 Chris Stark Advocacy Award is Irene Lambert of Montreal. And what they say about her is she has and continues to advocate tirelessly for Canadians with disabilities. She has fought countless battles in order to ensure the rights of Canadians with disabilities are recognized and protected. But most of all, her agenda continues to be that of Canadians with disabilities. So her focus is Canadians with disabilities. You can actually find more information about Irene and the awards on barrierfreecanada.org. So congratulations to the winners. Sure.
I remember those, the outspoken, Chris Stark, for sure. And Irene, what a recipient, because same thing. For years, you hear the name, and I'm glad that's one of the criterion, that time period, because these are people, and we appreciate anyone and their advocacy efforts, that kind of thing. You'd handle it the right way. You move forward. I don't care if it's for 3 weeks that you've done something. That's wonderful. But these are people who exemplified living their life that way, Karen, and what a great recipient of a great award recognizing that kind of effort.
Yeah, I like the time period as well, because I hate to use the word flash in the pan, but people who've dedicated their life and deserve recognition. And sometimes the people who've been there the longest sometimes get overlooked for the, I hate to use the phrase latest flavor, but as I use air quotes around my sentence there. But, you know, people who come in and, you know, sort of, I can do it all for you right now. You want people who've been around to sort of walk the walk and talk the talk and have given a substantial part of their free time to advocate.
Yeah.
They know, important.
They know the landscape, but I think, unfortunately, the time they've been around almost works against them because we take them for granted and are so used to what they do.
Yeah, they become part of the framework as opposed to maybe always standing out. And sometimes it's people who've been there longest who don't necessarily always want to be recognized because they just like doing the work.
It's just all they know.
But I think it's wonderful that the Barrier Free Canada does this and takes the time to structure the awards this way.
And for your second topic, for children who require sensory accommodations, the city of Sudbury will set individual appointments up. Why are clinics like this so important?
So for children like Valerie Chartrand, sensory-friendly vaccination locations can mean the difference in getting COVID shot or not getting the shot. Valerie's autism, she's nonverbal, has developmental delays, and doesn't tolerate masks very well. So this has been a very tough time for poor Valerie. They originally had clinics, sensory clinics, where it was sort of open to the public. When Chantel, Valerie's mother, called to set up an appointment for Valerie, she was told that she could not make the appointment because sensory clinics were no longer available, which for Valerie would mean she wouldn't get a COVID shot. You know, being unable to wear a mask all the time, that makes her especially susceptible to it. So something that Chantel really wanted to get done for Valerie, but she was told that she couldn't do it sort of as part of the clinics. So she found out that they've actually done something in Sudbury to make clinics available for kids who have sensory issues.
And what are some of the accommodations that are being made in Sudbury beyond that?
So Natasha McNair, who is the program manager for Public Health Sudbury and Districts, told CBC News that yes, there's no longer big clinics that, you know, we sort of heard a lot about at the beginning of the vaccination when vaccinations became available. For children who need adaptations now, what people can do is actually book individual appointments that are actually going to be tailored to each person's need. And for example, these can include things like dimmer lights, less noise, more privacy for the family, and a slower pace to get the individual vaccinated. I know when I went and got vaccinated, it was, you know, basically, I don't want, like, sausage factories, the first assembly line, like, come in, sit down, get your shot, leave. So that doesn't work for everybody. Also, for the kids' vaccinations, it's a different dosage. So what they were doing before with the big sensory ones that they had, the sensory clinics they had, is that people, they could have vials of the serum there. Because the kids' vaccination is different and there's not as many kids who may need the sensory rooms, they actually needed the health permission from Ontario Ministry of Health to transport. They transport a single syringe, and there were some very strict protocols about transporting a single syringe each time they need it to have the sensory clinic set up. So the single syringe of pediatric Pfizer vaccine, you just call and make your appointment for your kids, and they can set it all up for you based on your individual needs, which I kind of think is almost better than the big group ones, because if you're individualizing it for each person, you're going to have a better experience. tests and make sure that the correct dosage is there too.
I think sometimes we forget as a society that whether you are a person with a disability or not, we all have accommodations that can make things easier and that can make things go smoother, especially when you're talking about children specifically who are nonverbal. If it's going to be easier, if you call up the doctor and you say, like, this is my accommodation, this is what I need to have happen, and that can be done, it is far easier for the parent or the guardian to handle this versus the, okay, come here now and there's 30 other people in that same line that have the same appointment and you're just going to stand here and wait. Sometimes that doesn't work, Karen, for all of us.
Absolutely. And I really like the idea of individualization. I can understand the article was talking about Chantel being a little upset that when she first called, she thought that there was no more sensory appointments at all. And, you know, that was quite upsetting for her that they'd stopped doing this. But I agree with you. I think that the individualization in scenarios like this is going to work better. Chantel's talked about taking Valerie to, in the article, to her doctor's appointments and her hearing appointments. And, you know, she has to hold her and screaming sometimes, you know, not being able, as you know, not Valerie can't express herself all the time. So, you know, screaming is the ways that she's able to do that. And, you know, it's hard on everybody. It's hard on the doctors. It's hard on the parents. It's hard on the children. And having these individualized ones just can make it such a better experience, because especially kids, getting needles can be really scary for kids.
Oh, man.
Overall. So hopefully this will help make it better. Valerie can get, yeah.
And the interesting conversations that have had to happen to get kids ready, and people have been mentioning them, tweeting them out, or just, hey, I had the conversation with my child. So wonderful. Karen, also, while I have the opportunity, we finished up recording our Christmas show, of which you directed. And I know there's still lots of work to get it in the can, to get it to air on the 24th here on AMI Audio. Just wanted to say thank you. Excellent work and great directing and leadership with that project. We were speaking to Greg David about it here on the show the other day.
It's a team effort, and I put all of it on you guys. Make my life easy, which is grateful. Now Mark Aflalo has the hard work. He's the guy who puts it all together. I just make notes. He's wonderful. We're so lucky to have him as part of the team.
Our content development specialist.
And all you guys as well. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you. And appreciate everybody that worked with us on it. And we're excited for it to unfold. Our content development specialists join us Wednesdays and Fridays here on Kelly & Company. Join them whenever they're on with so much great information. Coming up next, an audio book title is topping the charts even before its official release date. We'll learn more with Ryan Huey. We get the conversation recaps and talk a little bit about them on Cut for Time. But up next, it's The Buzz with Bill Shackleton. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.